A bonus word this morning. If, as you heard me read those texts, you didn't just have this surge of joy in your heart about the liberating and life-giving word that we just heard, let me just say, you know, many of you, that we read from the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a really intentional way to try to move through important pieces of the Bible in our life together, and it repeats every 3 years. But not only do we do that in an intentional way that I think is helpful, that happens all over the world, and I happen to know that the bishop of our North Carolina Synod is in Papua New Guinea today, which is already tomorrow today in Papua New Guinea, and has been there for about going on 2 weeks, and will come home later this week. And he got into place with internet access and posted this morning that he was preaching on the Revised Common Lectionary text. So in Papua New Guinea, tomorrow today, because of the time zones, this is the text they heard and the text they deal with. So it's a really neat way that we're connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know specifically that some of those in Papua New Guinea, where about 20% of the population is Lutheran, that they're wrestling with these texts today too. So I commend that to you, even if it's not always fun, which maybe it's you can sort of go either way on, but I can volunteer, for me it's not always fun, but I think it's important. So having said that, that was your bonus this morning. Here is a brief selection, not exhaustive, of things that I hate. That bird right outside the bedroom window that starts calling before everyone is awake every morning. Rice squished to the bottom of my bare foot against a hard wood floor. The smell of canned tuna. How long it takes to properly apply sunscreen. That fool who we all know in traffic, who comes flying down the shoulder and wants to merge in front of me and everyone else who's waited. Robocalls. Calling my doctor's office with a simple and brief question and being routed to the call center in another city. Scented candles. And my list could go on. But you know what's not on my list of things that I hate? Father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and life itself. And I'm pretty sure for many of us, if you're going to draw up your own brief list of the things you hate, your family would not be on that list. So what's going on? Does Jesus really want us to hate our families? If we pull back and look with a little bit wider lens at the whole Gospel of Luke, not just these verses, we remember that Jesus blesses little children in chapter 18. He has strong words against the practice of dividing families by divorce in chapter 16 of Luke. He tells a story in the 15th chapter of Luke about this father who joyfully takes his son back, welcoming him extravagantly even after he had left the family and squandered his inheritance. So no, I don't think Jesus really wants us to actively hate our families. I think the word here, hate, is probably an exaggeration on Jesus's part. We do this all the time. When I say that I hate the smell that lingers forever after a can of tuna has been opened, what I really mean is that it's slightly unpleasant. Do I detest it to my core? Does it go against everything I stand for as a person? No, not really. I just say that I hate it to drive home the point, right? I don't like it. I think that's what Jesus is doing here with the word hate. He's driving home the point. Only Jesus's point is not about family being unpleasant. The point that Jesus is driving home is about priorities. And what Jesus is getting at here is that being a disciple can't be one priority we have among others. It has to be the priority, the top priority. So much so that even our families pale in comparison. So much so that even preserving your life has to take a back seat to following Jesus in the way of the cross. So much so that you can't be weighed down by your possessions. Jesus has this big crowd following him at this point in Luke's gospel. Some of these people are believers. Some of them aren't sure yet, but they're seekers. And probably some folks just wanted to see what all the fuss and commotion was about. And Jesus wants people to know, before they take this journey any farther, that following him comes with costs. Our version of Christianity in our society today is pretty far removed from these costs. We aren't really persecuted for what we believe. We don't put ourselves in economic jeopardy for going to church. In fact, in our society, it's pretty easy to profess belief in Jesus and continue having a comfortable life. And I'm not sure that this is a very good thing. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad we're not persecuted. I'm not asking for that. But somewhere along the way, I wonder if we've lost this sense that real Christianity, it comes with a cost. I wonder if we've lost the awareness that being a disciple means sacrificing for the sake of God's kingdom. This is what Jesus is trying to tell the crowds following him and saying to us, that being a disciple of Jesus means putting the needs of the kingdom of God over possessions. It means putting the way of Jesus over even family. It means taking up the cross and following Jesus into places that put our comfortable lives, sometimes our safety and security and our lives themselves at risk. Because, yeah, actually that's what carrying the cross and following Jesus looks like. It's not about dealing with that illness that plagues you, or the fact that you're not as tall as you wish you were, or whatever. Those things are not your cross to bear. Your cross to bear is what you do voluntarily, the action you really don't want to take, but that you willingly do anyway for the sake of following Jesus. Because this discipleship thing, it's not a conscription situation. Discipleship is an all-volunteer outfit made up of those people who have been moved by the love of God and want to do something in response to that love, who want to share that love. Discipleship is made up of those who are so deeply touched by the grace of God that they've received and know they aren't worthy of it. Disciples are these people so stunned by the beauty of God's welcome that they can't do anything but join up and be part of this mission of healing. Disciples are the ones who have realized that they have been given everything and want to use those gifts in the service of God in others, no matter the cost. People stand up to be disciples because they know as much filth and pain in this world that they may have to wade through because of their following of Jesus, that it's worth it. Sure, in God's love, salvation can come even to the comfortable who don't follow Jesus. But people become disciples because they've caught a glimpse of the glory of God's coming kingdom, and the sacrifice is worth it to be part of that kingdom now in the world. Yeah, the costs of this are high. Make no mistake about that. But anything worth having requires sacrifice. So the question is, where do our priorities lie? With Jesus or elsewhere? Discipleship may not always be in conflict with your other loyalties. There are probably times when you can balance your loyalty to your family with seeking Jesus, but it's not always that way. There will be times when our priorities are in conflict. And the only way to deal with it is to make hard choices. In a couple of weeks, in the 16th chapter of Luke, we're going to hear Jesus say that you can't serve two masters. Family, vocations that pay the bills, recreation, they can all be really great things. But the truth is, when push comes to shove, none of these things can save you. The only thing that can save us is the one who has defeated the power of death and who now beckons us to follow. So, where do your priorities lie? And do your habits, customs, and actions live out those priorities? If, as you take stock of things, you realize that life might be a little out of balance for you now, well, find ways to refocus your priorities around Jesus. The things we started with the kids down here are pretty good. Say your prayers, come to worship, read the scriptures. But we're also trying to do something over the next few months where we focus on this spiritual practice each month. So do this. Try this with us. Come pack backpacks next week as a way of serving. Make plans now to be here for worship in October. Plan to participate in Bible study and prayer coming in November and December. Find ways to get your habits in line with your priorities. God's grace is absolutely freely given, but it is not cheap. Discipleship is about more than just believing. Love it or hate it, make it your priority to follow Jesus in action. Amen.